All right, let's read this. What's that? Right, teachers, we wanted to hear from the teachers. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Jones.
I just wanted to iterate what Mrs. Adamson just said. The teachers are willing to work with their parents. I know quite a few teachers have set up WhatsApp chat groups with their parents to offer some form of support and to be available to their parents to give them guidance. As Mrs. Adamson said, not every household is ideal and there will be distractions. But I think at this stage, we just want you to make an effort. We want to see an effort being made. Everything is not, there are some households where everything will not be ideal, but just an effort. And in the guidelines also, there are backdrops. If some schools don't have a standardized backdrop, the Google Classroom does provide you can choose a backdrop that you can put just in case you don't have that blank canvas or the desk or whatever. So I've realized that teachers have been using it, students can use it. That's something that the teachers can go through with their parents. That's it, really. It is a work in progress. I don't think that we're fully there yet. We will make improvements as we go along. But once the channels of communication are open between, certainly the ministry is open for questions, teachers will set their own boundaries and guidelines, but most teachers I know are open to having questions asked. I certainly have had to ask questions of my girls' teachers, and they have made themselves available to me if I am unsure of anything. So, and I've made myself available to my parents. So the channels of communication are open. Once the channels of communication are open, then we should go forward with as little chaos as possible.
Well, hey, Janice, you wanted to say
that? Yes, yes.
May you all want to speak just on mute, or are we going to have a very stilted discussion, right? So let me be talking.
I'm in agreement with Ms. Jones and also our chief education officer. What I want to solicit this morning is that for our parents, I know there's challenges, but I want them to be proactive. And I say that, Corey, to say that majority, and I don't think that I will be assassinated for saying this, that majority of our parents have cell phones. They have very up-to-date cell phones. The technology is in their hand. And I'm seeing this is the opportunity to utilize it. Be proactive. Proactive in the sense of knowing what is happening before it happens. Engage your child form teacher and see what is happening for the next day. And once you know that, you can be at work. You have a lunch hour. I don't know if all lunch hour is 1 hour or half an hour. I am not sure. But you have to take time and steps in order to engage your children. It is difficult, but it can happen. It can happen. You can utilize your cell phone to make sure that they are finish one subject, going on to the next subject, and what has happened throughout the course of the day, it calls for communication. And yes, it will bring challenges like any other thing that comes on board that is new, but we have to do things in the light of this COVID environment. It is global. It is not going anywhere too in much of a hurry. We would like it to, but I'm saying that to say this, that we have to work with what we have. And therefore, I'm saying that majority of you as parents that have cell phones, utilize them. You might not get that time from your boss, but you might have a little time to have a drink or whatever. You engage Susie, Bob, how did your session go? You ask those pertinent questions and you will know whether the child went online. You will know. When you get in the evening, you can do this, you can find out what has happened. You engage your teacher again. It is possible. And I find that it is working. I want to say also one of the things that I found very intriguing in that since COVID, PTA's numbers have gone up. We had a PTA last year and I was quite impressed. We almost had 300 parents. At never an evening in my year as president for 4 years that I experienced such a high number. And I thought that it is something that we can learn from each other. If we were able to get almost 300 students, I'm saying that the opportunity is also there for other schools to bite in to this this avenue. For me, I had to use my son's laptop where he normally would go online for school. And here I was with all the parents that I always wanted to see. So I'm saying that the opportunity is there. And I recall that that meeting, it was very productive. It was very effective in that we have the principal, we had the deputy principal, we had teachers on board, we had daddy and mommy on board. And I'm saying that there's a positive in all of everything that is happening amidst the COVID environment. There's a positive. And I'm saying that other schools need not to have effective parents teachers association at this point of time. Once your son or ward has gone online to do their studies, that platform, I believe that the principals will get the okay, give the teachers the okay to open so that parents can go online and engage. That meeting ran from 6 to almost 9 o'clock. Very effective. So I'm saying we have the tools. Don't just scrap everything that was before. Let's utilize it. Use your phone, engage your children. And I while you were the chief education officer was speaking, I got a call from a parent, a grandparent. And it was an interesting call. She was saying, but I live in the South in Christchurch. And this is 3 years that we haven't had PTA meeting. And I'm saying, you know, effective that is. They had one online PTA. And I'm saying, no. We have to utilize the platforms that the ministry have engaged. Because hence, the ministry is bringing tablets and laptops for the children to use. We as parents must make sure that those children use them. And use them effectively, because that is a cost. All right. So we have to work hand in glove, and we have to use the same mechanisms that are in place to make things happen. All right, Corey.
Well, definitely. Go ahead, Astrid. Definitely.
Can I add to that?
Because so many things I want to say, but is your guy sure? Go ahead, Astrid. Go ahead.
Okay, Corey. I just want to add to it too, because as a parent, I have actually added Google Classroom to my cell phone. So, and I have my daughter's password. And so when messages come to her phone about assignments that are due, when it is due, what it is, I actually get a notification. So I am aware of what is happening with her on a daily basis. So I know for sure if something is late or if something is missing, then I would know for sure. As well as to add, I know sometimes as we spoke about having a quiet space, what I did for my son is that I purchased headphones for him. Because as you know, the outside distractions are easy. So if you have your headphones, you plug into your laptop or your device, and that actually tunes out some of the outside sounds that are there. So that is another way of finding your own quiet space, although it might not necessarily be a quiet space, but because of your headphones, then that would help you.
Corey, if at this point I can just make a comment in terms of the previous caller who indicated that, you know, the devices are costly. And while that is true, we want to get it out there to parents, get the message out there to parents to teach their children to respect property. In terms of the devices that were, some of them that were donated, and I can tell you that some of them have already been damaged. And so we want parents to speak to their children and teach them that respect for property is extremely important. When a laptop is damaged, that is a cost to government, is a cost to taxpayers.
Excellent point. One of the things I want to talk about with the tablets in particular, and I tell this to all my people with their phones and tablets, a screen protector costs about $20. A screen replacement costs $200. Ms. Aline, as a permanent secretary and a chief accountant of a ministry, would understand the dollars, right? So let me, that is something that always baffles my mind. Why invest in a device that may cost a couple hundred dollars and not spend that extra $20 to protect the screen and the digitizer, which costs a lot more? So that is something that I would encourage, whether it be the parents or the ministry or whoever, to invest in screen protectors. I was involved in a project with giving out some tablets, and if there were 30 tablets, 31 of them had the screens cracked within a few days, in a few hours. So I think the point you raised there, Miss Annie Hedy, is exceptional. Let's go to a call. I have some comments I want to make and some WhatsApps I want to read, but let's go to another call. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning to you, Corey. Good morning to you, Permanent Secretary and the panel. I have a couple of questions, concerns here. The first one, I want to speak in respect to the lady that spoke when she mentioned that the parents have cell phones and they can check in on their children during their lunch hour and stuff, right? My question is that, what about a parent that has three children at home at three different ages? You know, how effective will that be? Right, point one, in checking on three children at three different ages, not attended, no parent there, and all of them are online. That is point one question. I don't know who can address that question for me.
Let's address that before you move on. Janice, let's have some engagement here.
Okay, and the question is, three children, one cell phone. That's the bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that it can happen in that you will stagger your time. If you know that the smallest one is not having online school on Monday, you will need to call that particular child. But if you know that the senior ones have school and you know the subject area and you know the time, it is easy because the child goes on to the platform at night. I think the classes are 40 to 45 minutes. You, after that, you can make a call. You might have another child that might have the same hours. However, right after that, you can make another call. It is not difficult. It is not difficult. I don't know if a teacher can say differently or whatever, but my thing is to always engage the child, always engage the ward. Once you know this day and the time of the subject, it is a quick call. It is not an hour call. It's not a half an hour call. It is a 10-minute engagement in saying, Sue, how was your history today? Did the teacher, were able to answer some of your questions? Were you able to engage and understand what is happening? It is a quick call because with that engagement, that 10-minute engagement and the pertinent questions, you're able to ascertain from that end if there were any challenges where the child is concerned. It is possible.
I'm glad that you changed the word easy to possible, because with this COVID thing, nothing is easy. If you look at the dictionary, COVID means uneasy and not easy. Any definition?
Right. COVID, it is right. But it's possible. Corey, I don't want to bring this example, but I'll bring this example, especially for in the more adult arena. Most of our adults would have do online education, and you would agree to this. When it comes to our masters or whatever, we do it online. We make it possible. Hence, it might not be the best example, but I'm saying that the environment has changed. It is a changing environment, not only for education, but also for other factors. And I'm saying that we have to make things possible because it is not the norm. So as a parent, we can't be lost. We can't be left behind.
It requires additional effort. But let me hear from the caller. Caller, let's hear your response.
Right, okay. Your point you made, madam, is that you say that, for instance, I can use your same example you use so that we won't be lost, that if we have three children and the younger one doesn't have school on Monday and the other two have school, so we only have two to check in on, right? My question to you, what happens to the supervision for the younger one who is at a younger age and will need supervision and attention when it comes to distracting the other two that is at home without an adult being home?
Okay. I'm hearing you loud and clear. So you're saying, you're putting it on the table, there's no supervision for the younger one or any other that might be unattended.
At that point in time.
And you know something? This is where now we have to look at things holistically. I say that because oftentimes we do have persons that can peep in on our children. And when I say peep in, I don't mean just a look and a glance. It takes a community to raise a child. And I'm saying that there are parents within your community or in front of you or your neighbor who might be working from home, who might have a little lunch hour that can check in. This is the time that we cannot behave in the norm. We have to do things differently. I know it might be something that you're not accustomed to or acquainted with, because everybody do not like persons going to their home. But I'm saying to you, this is where auntie comes in place. This is where granny comes in place. This is where godmommy comes in place. It's a case where as that we have to use all the avenues that are open to us. And I understand where you're coming from. And it's realistic, because there are parents out there who do not have no one to assist them in while they are at work to make sure that the children are monitored. I am saying engage your sister, auntie, engage your brother. If you don't get through, you call someone else. Could you check on Sue? I'm talking to Bob right now, but I believe that, you know, it is possible and it can happen. It can happen.
I agree with you, ma'am, 110%. But it's something you also forgot in you saying who we have out there. We also have COVID out there.
Yes. Yes,
so
I agree with you.
Then we have auntie, we have uncle, we have the name and everybody. You know, we still have to take things into consideration. COVID
things,
is out there.
Yes, please.
So we can't forget COVID, because this is where we are.
But as the elderly would always say, it's not what we do, it's how we do it. And therefore, you don't expect auntie and uncle and next door neighbor to come in and have a lap foot seat in front or next to. But I'm saying to you, if your child is in a position, and the chief education officer made allude to it, she said, okay, let's say they're under a tree or outside, the next door neighbor can ask a question. Bob, have you completed? Are you finished or whatever? They can ask a question. It's not a case where as now that the person is taking up a seat in your home to ask your child certain questions. No, it can happen whereas that we use our mental faculties to see how best we can help our children. The bottom line is to help our children, and it can work.
I think we should go back. We should go back where most of us here would be accustomed to the fact that a neighbor, the entire community used to raise our children or raise us, you know. We can go back to that as well. I totally agree. But, you know, but because of the times that we're in, we have to be very skeptical in going back to that point.
Yes.
But we have to go back to that some point in time. Right? Okay, we can move on to other points. I guess other callers want to come in as well. My other question is that... we were told from the school that might be attached to that letters for parents to be able to work remotely from home are requesting that the ministry is requesting that the parents send a letter to them as requesting permission to give them a letter to our workplace, right? My question to that is going to be very wide. Whereas that, I'm a civil servant. And I know how the system is, and the Ministry of Education right now is flooded. So when we write these letters to the ministry requesting letters on behalf of us, the parents, to work remotely from home, how long will it take before majority or most, if not all, parents get back responses to their workplaces? Almost it would take the entire school term we have ahead of us. because then it's a lot of children out there, a lot of parents out there who needs this communication method here. That is going to take some time. Some will get some early, and some will get theirs late. There's some that when school term efficient, they won't even get their letter back from the ministry for their workplace. That's point okay. two.
Okay, can I answer that before you move
sure.
on? Yeah. Corey, your voice was dropping in and out, but I think you're saying that the letter must come to the Ministry of Education. I just want to clarify that that is not the procedure. So there is a work from home policy, so you would have to speak with your PS at your particular ministry if you're a public servant. That is for the public servants. So the letters aren't coming to the Ministry of Education for us to give a response. That has to be something that you discuss with your permanent secretary.
Okay, but we were told that for Blackman and Gallup.
You write the letter to the ministry?
Yeah, the letter has to come.
No, if you're a public servant, you have that discussion with your permanent secretary, your senior, your ministry.
Okay,
not the Ministry of Education. Okay,
thanks for that. Thanks for that clarity, ma'am. Okay, okay, that was being for point two, three, and point four. Okay, this is probably for, I don't think this would be able to ask here, but it's just a comment we have to make here in respect to parents that would be requesting assistance to be work from home. Because what we have experienced is that there, no empathy has been really extended to some parents who are juggling between working and assisting, being teacher, what we call teacher aides, in the role of teaching our children at home. And this needs to be addressed. We've been hearing all along, we want the children to get assistance, to hold their hand and bring them along, to be there for them during, when they are in school. But we still have to work. And for those parents who are working from home and the children at school, something's going to give. Especially when we have young children, 5 and 6 years old, something has to give. So we're asking that for elementary education at this present time, we know your role. Your role is our education and our children, right? But our children have parents, especially young ones that need the foundation. They have the parents, right? Some of us may be young parents, some of us may be experienced parents. But for all parents, there's some empathy should be extended to these parents. And I don't know if medication has that ability to strengthen that point so that the ministry of education does not fall down, whereas the children are lost or left behind. We hear your query, yes, and we are about to answer your query, but we also have a query as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, good point, Carla. Definitely good point. What I'm hearing is both sides of the debate. On the chat and on some WhatsApps, there are some people coming down really hard saying all parents need to step up, etc. And on the other side, there are even some people in the system that are saying some people may be out of touch, not recognizing that, for instance, if you have a 3-4-year-old, can you actually go to work and check in on them? You can't, because they need to be supervised, period. And they need your physical or some other physical presence. Now, usually the extended family would be the answer, but as the caller made a good point, with COVID out there, you're not going to bring in any and everybody into your home to create another problem. I just want to say something to the bosses out there. The people that need the supervision of your current employers, they're going out there to ensure that the future employers and your future customers can make a living and can become good employers. So if that helps by any way of you giving some leeway, some people always look to abuse the system, but I believe you need to have mechanisms in place that we make some provision for parents who need to supervise. And if there's anything they can do working from home, that should be allowed. The other thing that I think we need to strip away is the fact that before COVID, there were parents who invest various levels of time, energy, and attention to their children's schooling. Some people put in 150%, they want the children to go to X school. Some people put in 100%, some put in 50%, some put in 10%, and some put in 0%. And COVID does not change that. What COVID calls for is for parents to increase that time and energy and attention they pay. So that is one of the things that we cannot sweep under the rug. That is one of the things that will cause the problem here. Some can't and some don't. And we got to be able to separate those. On that point, I want to go on to a suggestion made by a WhatsApper who really is speaking to the whole CAD Academy and how they do things. And I'm familiar with a course I took on Coursera. And I don't know, I can ask the ministry before we go on to the other calls on WhatsApp, if that is something that can be considered. If you're familiar with the Coursera, basically, it could be done one or two ways where you record the lessons and you have them available so that parents, when they come home, they could go through them with the children. If you want to keep to that socialization and that discipline, like in the Coursera, you have X time to do the test and it expires at Y time. Therefore, you have to be within a time frame to keep, just like in exam times, midterms, and end of term. Is that something that can be considered, something that has been considered? And I'll read the comment and then I'll get your response. The larger issue is creation of learning content and the cost. So much resources going into making a faster horse rather than creating a new mode of transportation. Look at CAN Academy model. Content from one source and teachers retrain as tutors. We need to shift the focus from teaching to learning. We cannot chalk and talk over the internet. Do we remember the goals of EduTech? Can we get some response from the education officials on that?
Okay, Corey, I agree with that comment, focus from teaching to learning. And I know the members of the, if they're listening, the curriculum department and the ministry, we're always talking about that. And it is not just taking a class that you have and changing it to just go online. There are different approaches that you have to do. We are familiar with Coursera. I have a niece who is studying. She's here in Barbados, and she's at a university overseas. And that format that you were referring to is exactly what they do. We have a period of time. The classes are recorded, and then you have to respond. I am aware that some secondary schools have been using that. I can't speak to the primary schools, but that is something that we will encourage, especially for those parents who have those challenges. And I want to previous callers to tell you that we understand. We do empathize with parents who are in particular circumstances. And I know, Corey, what you said is true. It is the same thing. We have some parents who will change, who will adapt, who will do their best to try to accommodate. And then there's some who just throw their hands in the air and say, well, it can't be done. But these are different times, so we have to look at it differently. But we will encourage students to help those parents. And I said that earlier, work with those parents to see how we can get that work to the student so that they are not in any way disadvantaged.
Excellent.